League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Okay, Tim, good to go when you are.
Cue the music.
This is just a guide to modern life. Modern life is hard to get just right. It can frustrate you and annoy. And if it does, right into dear Lovejoy.
Welcome to the award-winning Dear Lovejoy podcast, and this is a mailbag edition. Special. I think if we add award-winning and special to the intro, then I think people listen more. Anyway, this is a listener interaction podcast. During the next hour, I'll probably be giving my opinion, though, and maybe some advice. So please remember that I am not qualified at anything. And if you are taking advice off me, you're taking advice off a TV presenter, which, as everyone knows, is a horrible idea. Mark is here to keep me in check. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Tim. Hi, everyone.
How's life?
Yeah.
I've been to see Amy from the breathing room for a breathing lesson.
Have you?
Yes, I have indeed.
Oh, you didn't tell me that.
Haven't I?
No.
Didn't I tell you that?
No. Oh. No, because normally you go, oh, have you? Yeah.
Oh, I went and...
Okay, how was it?
Oh, it's amazing. It really is. It's such a strange thing.
What's the breathing room? Is it shaped like a big lung or something?
A bit like that. It's in a basement, actually, in the city. That's where I went. With a bit of mood candles going on.
And you don't like candles?
Some music. They weren't scented, so it was okay. I like candles. I'm just not sure I like the scented ones. Anyway, she got me to breathe for an hour.
Right.
It's a lot harder work than you think. I know it sounds really bizarre, but she gets you to breathe really deeply and intensely. And I have to say, I felt very strange, weird. It brought up, but she told me this would bring up a lot of emotions. It does. And I'm not one of those, you know, I think everything's mumbo jumbo, but I'm not skeptical. I like to, that doesn't make sense.
They were both the same thing, weren't they?
See, I'm contradicting myself there. No, I don't, it's hard. Look, I'm not skeptical, but I don't believe in a lot of stuff, you know? So it's like, you've got to prove it to me. I felt emotional. I brought up a lot of memories. And afterwards, I felt really relaxed. And yeah. I felt really positive and
that makes a change.
Strong and powerful. I did, and I went home on the train and I woke up the next day and I just thought, this is brilliant. I felt really good. So I've been trying to do my breathing exercises now. I've got too many things that I'm doing, so I've sort of replaced meditation at the moment with breathing exercises.
Isn't it sort of the same thing? Thing is, it meditation? No, but meditation is controlled breathing, isn't it?
It's all the same rubbish.
No, but you, I didn't. Know what I mean. Don't put words into my mouth. I didn't say rubbish.
It's all the same mumbo jumbo nonsense. No, yeah, no, I don't know. It is
meditation
yeah.
is just a is yeah. a form of controlled breathing to
yeah.
for mindfulness, isn't it?
So no, but yeah, there's a lot of breathing involved in meditation. The way I meditate, I breathe, but I breathe slowly and softly, sort of thing for meditation. Whereas this is kind of powerful breathing, deep breathing.
You showed me, because I didn't know you'd been to see Amy, but you did show me some breathing techniques that I should use. I thought you were having a panic attack.
It's quite hard to do.
It was sort of Gibbon-esque.
I'm also doing cold... No, it wasn't. Well, it wasn't supposed to be. I'm also doing cold showers. I'm doing a lot of those at the moment. We've got Wim Hof coming on soon. And he... Do you know about Wim Hof?
We've spoken about him,
Dutch guy. He's absolutely brilliant. I love watching his stuff on him. That bleep is my cat coming in, by the way, through the cat flap. There she is. She's wandering in. And she'd probably wander out. So she... So I've done the Wim Hof thing. He talks about it. And Amy talks about it a lot. So I've been doing cold showers. And after a while... I mean, like ice cold, I've been doing them. And after a while, you start craving it. But it's a really strange thing. You start by going... Ow, this hurts. I hate it.
I thought what you were supposed to do. So what you do is you have a normal shower.
Yeah.
And then the last minute, you...
Minute? I'm going longer than a minute.
Yeah, but you're hard, Tim. We all know you're...
Well, I've started to do it till I feel... If I do it with my head, I do it to, you know, that ice cream thing you get.
Yeah.
You know, when
yeah.
you eat too much ice cream, I sometimes get.
You
still,
you feel kind of lightheaded afterwards, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to ask Wim Hof, because he's the one who talks all about it, and we're interviewing him soon. I'm going to ask him why I
but
should.
If you
be
have
doing
like
this.
A reasonably warm shower,
yeah,
and then you blast yourself cold for the last minute, what it's like is basically like a quick sauna thing. So you like hot and then cold.
Hot and cold, yeah. Well, I'm still doing my sauna treatment. I'm enjoying that, so I'm going to the sauna, doing quite a bit of that. I've got myself up to about 25 minutes now, which I don't know whether you're supposed to keep going. Hey, I'm doing 6 hours in the sauna, but I do sort of, I don't know, 10 to 15 minutes cold shower back in. Enjoying that. Don't know what that's doing. I don't know if any of this stuff is doing me any good, but I don't quite like experimenting and trying it all. So I'm also still. You know, it's great, isn't it? We're getting to meet so many people on this podcast. I still go and see Suzanne from. Moving stretch, a bit of assisted stretching. I really enjoy that. Last time I saw her,
you are living the Dear Lovejoy life.
I am.
You practice what you preach.
I am. Yeah, I am. I'm listening to what everyone's telling me and thinking.
And while you're doing it, do you hum the theme tune?
Yeah. Last time I saw Suzanne, though, she made me laugh a lot. It was the best therapy I'd ever had. She just goes, when was the last time you laughed? And I went, I don't know, stop being weird. And she went to me, do you want to hear a joke? I like jokes. And I was like, fine. So she told me a joke which wasn't particularly funny. I can't remember what it was about. And then she told me...
Jokes are never fun. Those jokes.
No. She told me one that was really funny.
Can you repeat it?
Yeah, I'm going to repeat it now. And then she laughs. And she laughed uncontrollably at her own joke. I'm not exaggerating, for 2 to 3 minutes. She just laughed and couldn't stop laughing. And
this must be the greatest joke ever told.
Well, then she kept explaining the joke to me, which obviously I understood, but I was watching her laugh. And it's really nice when you watch somebody just laugh at their own joke like that. I'll tell you her joke now, okay?
Hang on, drum roll. This is the funniest joke ever told.
Well, I'm not sure it's the funniest. It's Suzanne's funniest, though. Two sausages in a pan. One says to the other, Jesus, it's hot in here. And the other one says, fuck me, a talking sausage. Though I've got to say, Suzanne didn't swear. She said she made a noise instead. She went, ooh, a talking sausage. It is the perfect joke, though, because it's kind of, you know, it's funny. It is a funny joke. Mark, you're not laughing. Do you not find that joke funny?
There's no fat
on that joke at all. It's just pure two lines, funny. You're expecting something, and something else happens. It's how comedy works.
Thanks for telling me.
And it's sausages, and they're discussing... You know, being in a pan. It's a brilliant joke.
Does anyone fry sausages anymore?
I don't know.
Anyway.
You shouldn't talk about that. That's one of my, it's coming up later as one of my pearls of wisdom, actually.
What, frying sausages?
Nearly.
I reckon I know what it is. I'm not going to spoil it, but I reckon I know what it
Nearly.
Is.
Nearly, all right. I wanted to ask, actually, you know, I always give out advice. I want advice, if anyone can help me out there, on... tips of getting rid of language. You know, when you end up with language, so my kids at the moment, well, they start every sentence with wait.
So
they all do it. So people do so, yeah. Or you get something, I'm trying to think of other language that people do.
Listen, look, politicians do that.
Yeah.
Look, or
for
no,
me,
no, listen,
for me, everyone's doing for me.
Yeah.
That's epidemic, isn't it? It's like when everyone used to say amazing. For me, is just now we've pointed it out to you, you're not going to be able to unhear the fact that most people you know go for me constantly. And Mark and I take the mickey out of each other because we're trying our hardest not to do it. And every now and then it comes up. But the one I'm trying to get rid of, so we should get rid of that one, but is the word girl. And I keep on saying girl. So I met this girl the other day. And it's been pointed out to me that it's not PC. Dr. Julia Shaw, I think, was the first person who pointed it out to me and went, not really girl, maybe woman. And I think since then I've been trying to not say it, but I really struggled. Do you have any tips to get rid of language? If you do, could you let me know how the best way to do it? Why are you laughing?
It's just a funny sentence. Do you have any tips to get rid of language?
Because when they're in there, it's really hard to get out, isn't it? It's really, really hard to get out. It's hard to change the way you speak. And you've got the worst is Australians who go up at the end of sentences. It just drives me nuts that, you know, the that sort of stuff. But if you've got any tips, let us know, usual place.
But no offence, Australia, still listen. We've got listeners Australia.
Oh, look, I love Australia, and it's just the way they speak, but they all do it. They end everything. Every sentence is a question. But it's really hard when you're spending time in someone's company and they're doing it constantly. But that's, I assume I annoy people the way I speak as well. By the way, I've had a lot of anxiety doing these podcasts recently. I think I should bring this up. But we had a revisiting. By the time this goes out, I'm just not sure what order we're putting these out now. But Dr. Julia Shaw, I interviewed her the other day. She was a returning guest. We had a lovely conversation about Me Too. Got some anxiety about that because I discussed quite a lot, a bit about my personal life in there.
It should be hashtag for Me Too.
For me, yeah, for me too. That's good. Harriet Harman, had a bit of anxiety after that one because I started, you know, just asking questions. Always, as I said in the intro to it, always wondering whether people perceive my questions as right wing, left wing, you know, racist, sexist, or whatever. And then Alistair Campbell, again, we get into a lot of personal stuff with me, and I'm not used to talking. I'm not used to having too much of an opinion because I'm a broadcaster on TV and you're not really allowed it. Well, it's wise not to have it.
I mean, you can have an opinion, just
not on telly.
I mean, you can say, I like these sausages. Oh, those kebabs. Oh, anyway, sorry.
Hold on, my headphones have come out. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh,
hello.
He just pulled my cable right into my...
Sorry about that. Yeah, no, you can have an opinion. But I mean, even me, when I have an opinion on Sunday brunch about food, you get complaints. You just got to be careful. And it's not in the remit, really, of TV. I'm doing entertainment TV. So, you know, I'm not really supposed to be giving huge opinions. And I'm also supposed to be toeing the line as well. You know, the balance, making sure that... conversations about it. So when we did have Alistair Campbell come on and he talked about Brexit on Sunday brunch, you have to at some stage to the other side because it needs to be balanced. Anyway, so I've had a bit of anxiety, but they're all going out, and I kind of enjoyed doing it, so hopefully that'll you'll enjoy them as well. We're gonna do some emails now, but we had no email this time from Jessie, and I'm a bit gutted about that.
What, those sort of,
yeah, she sends ones which are about three biblical or four pages. Yeah. And I think I might have insulted by not liking The Secret or Star Signs. I think I'm not
or
sure
or anything she said.
No, I agree with a lot of what she says. It's just the Star Signs and The Secret, the book The Secret, that is. I just nonsense. I'm sorry. This comes from Kenneth. Dear Lovejoy and Mark, I'm a newcomer to the podcast, having just listened to the Helen Chamberlain special. Being a long-term fan of Soccer AM, also lucky to appear as one of the fans of the week. It was great hearing the creation and development of the show and how it all came together. It would be great if you could get some of the old team back for another podcast, as you suggested, to Helen, Aldo. Aldo? God, that's going back to series one and two.
I don't even know who that is.
Oh, he's really, he's brilliant. I'm still in contact with him. He's involved in the film industry and the TV industry. He writes a lot of drama now. He writes and he produces. He's quite a player. Fenner's Rocket, Sheephead, and even the soapy legend. Such a shame to hear of the passing of the Gooner in the Gallery, Shandy by day, Candy by night. Although Tim won't remember me directly, I'm sure he'll remember the show that me and my fellow Aberdeen fans appeared on. I love this because I never remember anything. Then people bring up stuff and I thought, oh yeah, it was back in the days of the 4-hour marathon show. It's 4 hours
four
we used
hours.
To do that show, yeah.
Longer than Sunday brunch.
Which is three, yeah. And as it was the Saturday after Red Nose Day, the show started with Big Nose Day for unfortunate people like Fenners that suffer from big noses. Jesus, we wouldn't get away with that now, would we? I remember it. Big Nose Day, donate. He's got a big nose. I can't believe we did that. And quite rightly, we wouldn't get away with that sort of stuff now. We did ourselves proud in fans' game at the end of the show, bagging and predicting our score of just your 5 at Chips. I forgot we had a game called Chips as well. They were dressed as the American Cops, okay. Chips, the guys. A score that went unbeaten for the entire season. But the guests were Steve Claridge, Gary King of The Wedge, Shaw, and star guest, the one and only David Soul. It's a fantastic day out. David Soul's an Arsenal fan. Gary Shaw, I took a picture of him to a hairdresser's once and said, cut my hair like that.
I've done that. I did that with John Lennon.
John Lennon? No, which era?
Back of the Revolver, so 60s.
Oh, God, Jesus. Right, okay, I'm going to have to Google that. Apologies, everyone, but I'm going to have to Google this.
Back of Revolver vinyl. I actually took the vinyl sleeve with me. He's got really long hair at the back. I asked it for a bit shorter at the back.
Tim is Googling on the internet, looking for information to fill up his head. To fill up his head, or just to fill up the time. You ever get the feeling he's wasting yours and mine?
That one.
That could be any haircut. It's just a blurry black and white. Oh, okay. Why would you want a haircut like that? That's what every kid had.
Yeah, this was back in 96.
That's what every kid had growing up, that sort of haircut.
Yeah, but I didn't know how to describe it. What do you say?
Manchester.
Yeah, but I wanted specifically that one.
Mop top. Yeah, that looks good. Did it come out looking like that?
Yeah, I look great.
All right, cool. Anyway, Tim and Mark, having enjoyed Helen's podcast, I've decided to go back and listen from the start. You're currently on podcast 69, so my question for you is from the future, kind of, or maybe it's from the past. What change do you think I will see in my life, your lives, and the world in the time it takes me to catch up to this letter, if indeed gets read out, fingers crossed? Will we have flying cars and hoverboards at long last? How long is it going to take to listen to these episodes? Will the apes or the machines have taken over the world as Hollywood predicted? Will the world resemble something out of Black Mirror? Will I even make it to a podcast 70? Look forward to hearing your thoughts in the future. And I'll make sure I check back and let you know how your predictions turned out. AI is coming and coming fast. When you turn on your phone these days, if you have an up-to-date phone, it will not only sift through your emails and stick dates in calendars, it tells you how long it'll take you to get to something. It's like your phone is AI. But that also means cryptocurrency will be a thing. So
no, it won't. I think you're wrong.
And why?
It just won't be.
Why?
It's just not going to catch on. It's already been thrown.
The reason why I think cryptocurrency will catch on, Kenneth, I'll talk to you because you're the brains here amongst the three of us having this discussion, is because, like, say you've got a driverless car, and say every city decides to, you know, make them own them themselves. So you've got the London ones, the Manchester ones, et cetera, et cetera. Once they own themselves, so you just make them so they can just drive around, and eventually what they have to do is they have to get paid, which we can pay via wirelessly and everything else. And then what I think they're going to have to do is they're going to have to, eventually, this is kind of the idea, they'll own themselves. So they'll see that they're getting either out of date, or they need to be renewed, or they're damaged and they need to go in for a service. When they go in, they'll need to pay. And that's where I believe cryptocurrency will start coming into its own.
Bitcoin's dead.
With machines. Maybe it'll be Bitcoin, maybe it'll be something else. But I think that sort of currency is going to be the way that we're going to move towards. So I think it's going to be a thing. I also feel, I can't be bothered to get into talking about this, but I think in the future we'll need money less and less. And we'll need divisions of money. So we'll need to go to more decimal points. And that's, again, why cryptocurrency. It's interesting at the moment. Are we getting rid of 1p's and 2p's? What are we getting rid of? 5p's and 10p's? What are we getting rid of?
I don't know.
We're going to get rid of something, aren't we? Like some small denominations of money, apparently. And it's funny because that's going that way with the actual money we handle. And yet the decimal places on cryptocurrency are going to become micro money. We're going to have micro payments.
That's what I earn.
Space travel will commercialize. That's what else I think will happen when they start mining other planets. That's when it's really going to kick off, when they realize they can get some stuff from the moon, some drugs from the moon, then they'll be all up there bringing it back. The meat v plant argument comes to an end when artificial protein becomes a norm. I was looking at some stuff. I read a lot of rubbish online. I like looking at the future. And artificial protein is coming down dramatically in price. So the original hamburger cost hundreds of thousands of pounds, I think, to make. Now it's being made for 1,000 or something. It's going to be nothing soon. So we're going to have artificial protein. Apparently artificial fish protein is really easy to make. I think the biggest conversation we can have about artificial protein, yeah, it's not going to be plant versus versus meat, because we'll be making our own protein. We're just going to have to decide how close to human protein we want it. Obviously, the closer it's going to be, the better for us. But eventually, you're going to possibly be eating human protein. Might not be the most moral thing to do. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, if it's not actual human, then it's not human protein. It's just synthesized to act like human protein. So then therefore there's no problem, is there?
Yeah, but it starts by us taking human protein to make it.
No, you can probably synthesize that without starting. But it's not like sourdough bread, is it? You don't have to have a starter kit.
I think that's the way they'll do it, though.
No, I think they'll know the... Oh, we, look, what, it's not, we don't know what we're talking about.
I do, though. That's the thing. I'm good at predicting the future. I am. And finally, Kenneth, aliens will come and we will all die. They will kill us all. Now, I'm not sure about that last one, but I've always
thought... Well, at least I know the title for this podcast.
Someone
asked... Lovejoy's bleak vision of the future.
So it's not bleak. We're going to eat protein. We're going to travel to space. AI is going to come. We won't need money. We'll all be living in a beautiful world. I just do think, though, when someone asked me the other day, how do you want to die? I thought the best way to die ever... I mean, it's not great for my kids and everything, but for me, the best way would be actually...
For you?
For me, would be the aliens landing and wiping us out. At least I get to see it. I've always thought this would be horrible, right? If you die...
are you talking about?
Well, look, right, say the aliens come in... I die in 2032, I'd die, and the aliens come in 2033. I'd have missed it. Be so gutted, because if the aliens come to destroy us, it'd be nice to actually see it happen.
But you're not going to remember it, so there's no point in seeing it.
Yeah, but it'd be good to just see, you know. Jonathan says, hi TV Tim and Mark. TV Tim and Mark, I started listening to your podcast because I saw Peter Blixley tweet about it. I enjoyed the interview with him, so decided to start episode one and binge listen whilst I'm at work. I wonder what they sound like, episode one and two and stuff. They're probably really shoddy,
so bad.
I bet they're really stiff. I really enjoy them, so thanks and keep it up. I'm currently listening to a special with Nadia Essex and feel compelled to email in as she's making me furious. So I get a lot of these, actually. I agree with a few things that she says, but on the whole, she's living in dreamland. She expects a guy to take her for a meal on a first date so she can try different food. Give over. Give over.
Old school.
I love that. Old school. Give over. Oh, and he should pay for subsequent dates too, but she'll cook. Nah. What's she doing is giving women a false sense of reality. We don't live in the 40s and 50s anymore. There's nothing wrong with going out for a couple of cocktails as a date, having a chat, etc. If a guy asks you to come out and meet his friends, it's a sure sign he's a good guy, because his mates will embarrass him and show him up to be a right dick if that's what he is. That's what lads do. So there you go. So people do moan and whinge about it. I tell you what, I do date, and these days I find that women always offer to pay, or they insist on paying. I think that's what's the future.
That's because they don't think you've got any money, because there's no meat on you anymore.
Times have moved on, definitely. 100%. Women feel that they should be paying, and they feel it's their right to as well. I asked my 6-year-old daughters, and they laughed at me when I said who should pay. They just went, just share the bill. As that famous Buddhist saying goes, only date people who value themselves as much as you. And if they value themselves, they're going to turn up and want to pay for it. But I also think when you start dating people, don't go anywhere expensive. It's ludicrous, isn't it? I think Nadia wants to go for a nice meal. I just think go for a coffee first, get to know each other. You can always do the meal later on. I think that's the important thing. There's my advice. That's my dating advice for you. On to this one.
He didn't actually ask for any, which I like.
He didn't know. He actually points out later
But he got some.
Well, he doesn't need it, really, because he pointed out in his PS that he's been married for 10 and a half years.
Right.
So he doesn't need to date yet.
Wow. Lovejoy's bleak vision of the future.
Dear TV Tim and Mark, I discovered the Dear Lovejoy podcast. Everyone's saying they discovered it. In January 2018, I've been binge listening for a couple of months now. Everyone's binging on us. We're like a box set on Netflix.
Or heroin.
I think we'll go with box set on Netflix. I'm only on episode 40-odd, so writing to you in the future. I wonder what it's like. Again, someone said that. This is from Sean. My favourite thing so far has got to be the advice given to Russell Kane by his nan. I'm not going to repeat it because it's got a very rude word in it.
I will.
Listen back to Russell Kane one because he's funny as well. It's a really good podcast, isn't it? Since listening, I've been desperate to email him because a certificate is basically an award and I quite fancy being an award-winning human. A certificate. Do you remember those, Mark, when you were put in charge of certificates?
I've got a new system.
Not really.
There's a new system.
What's that?
It's called a crypto mine certificate. So just imagine receiving one and you've got it. There you go.
But I listen to you whilst in the gym and never remember the things I agree with, disagree with, find outrageous, find hilarious, think is useful, think is totally cobblers, delete as appropriate. But I did want to let Tim know that he's responsible for an awkward situation, social situation I find myself in, and ask his advice. I was a teenager when you presented Soccer M and watched religiously. One of my favourite features, for reasons we don't need to go into, included you and a guest doing the catwalk to G-Night's Mr. Big Stuff. Yeah, I recently discovered that since then, my dad has used that song and his personalised ringtone when receiving calls from me, as it reminds him of me. What I always liked about catwalking was the fan of the week, getting up and doing it with me. It's amazing how many men can't just walk at a camera and back. How awkward they were. And every time the fans come and go, please choose him, please choose him, please choose him, because they knew that one of them wouldn't be able to do it. Right, now, clearly this is quite sweet. So his dad has Gene Knight's Mr. Big Stuff. Clearly this is quite sweet, but it still is a little bit embarrassing when he plays the ringtone to people, proudly telling them it's set specially for me without providing any additional context. Should I tell him that this might seem odd and it's embarrassing for me, or should I just get over myself and let him get on with his life and whatever ringtone he chooses? I'm aware that in the grand scheme of things, this is barely even a problem at all, but I became a dad for the first time last year, and your advice on fatherhood and sleep deprivation has helped out a lot. Oh, good. I don't even remember what I said, but good. I'm glad it helped. So I'm lucky to have nothing more serious worrying me now. Okay, I think you're right in saying just let him get on with his own life. His life really, I think we all get too busy in each other's lives. Does it really matter? I mean, as a father, I have to keep reminding myself that I'm not in charge of my daughter's lives anymore. They're 16 now.
Yes, you are.
I'm not. It's their lives. They've got to do with it what they want. They're not going to listen to me. I like to think that I could really, I can ask them how they're doing. I can offer them advice if they want it, but it's their lives. I try and set standards. I try and stop my daughter from swearing. One of my daughters started becoming a bit of a sweary Mary.
Potty mouth.
She did say to me the other day, she's gonna hate me for this, but I'm going to say.
She doesn't listen.
True.
Cool kids don't listen to us.
True. She said, she swore, and I went, stop swearing. And she said, it's the way I talk now. You're going to have to get used to it. At which point I started laughing because I thought that was ridiculous. And then I said, I'm going to put that on Twitter. And she said, oh, please don't. Oh, please don't. Everyone think I'm stupid. And I went, you kind of answered your own reason for not swearing there. But yeah, I think just let him do it. I think people get too concerned over, I know what you're saying. It's kind of a bit weird in a way, but I think people get too concerned of other people's lives. I always think if you're on Twitter now and you're about to go on and troll a celebrity or troll anyone, a politician, or you're trying, actually maybe slightly different with a politician because maybe you're not into their views, but if you're about to troll a celebrity or you're about to do something rude to somebody like that, just think, really, is this what my life's about, trying to talk to someone else about their life and not mine? Maybe think about spending some time on your life and living your own life, not somebody else's. I always think when I sit and watch my kids and they watch some of those reality TV shows, some are all right, but some of them, I just said to them the other day, why not spend some time on your life rather than obsessing on their lives? It's just absolutely ludicrous. But, you know, and it, especially when you're doing the, when people are doing the Instagram and stuff, I think that's going to come unstuck soon.
Well, Facebook has already, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's for a different reason. Well, it won't, by the way. Facebook will still be fine. Because people love it, I don't really do Facebook that much. They keep getting their hits out of it, don't they? As they get their likes or they're looking at things they like to watch with their confirmation bias. But you know, if you're on Instagram or something like that, and you're one of those guys women who are just living their life.
Yes, we do.
I think it's not PC anymore.
Boys, it's fine.
I don't think it is.
Why?
I don't think you're allowed to do that. I think you're not allowed to. I think it's I don't think you're allowed to say girls or boys unless they are at literally girls or boys. I think it's just,
I'm seeing the boys down that I'm going to football with the boys, or I'm going to play football with the
boys. Oh, it's like sitting with Nigel Farage.
Oh, God, it's like sitting opposite the Dalai bloody Lama over there.
I don't know. I've been told you can't do it anymore. Phil Neville got in trouble the other day, didn't he? Because he said in his first press conference before the England, he said, we've got a good bunch of girls. And they were like, you can't say that anymore, mate. You've got to say we've got some good women in the squad, or just some good players, probably, is the best way of putting it. I quite like it, though. Let's move it on. But I don't know whether, I assume I'm not allowed to say it. Anyway,
Doesn't matter.
I say? When you're on Instagram and you're doing all that and you're just living your life through, I think it's going to come unstuck soon, because people are going to start going, hey, I live in the real world. And I think it'll become really exciting for people. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being on a bus, Mark, or a train and actually talking to someone?
Oh, it just sounds like hell.
I do it because of you. I do it even more than I've ever done.
Good
it now.
For you, Tim.
Every time I go into a sauna or something, if someone's in there, I'm like, right, you're going to hate me because I'm going to talk
worst.
To you. What? People like a conversation. Lee says, hello, TV Tim. TV Tim. And Mark, long time listener here, first time emailer. Love the show. I always listen to you at work on my phone with earphones in. Oh, I'm not sure I'm going to do that. What job are you allowed to do that in?
Lots of them. It's better than him listening to it on the speaker on his phone. That would be unfair to other people, his colleagues.
The Hell's Bells podcast took me straight back to Saturday mornings on the city, hungover, absolutely pissing my pants at Soccer M. I assumed that a lot of people were watching the show hungover. That's what I always assumed.
That's because you're always hungover on telly, Tim.
Some of the jokes and catchphrases have stuck, and I still use them to this day. I never drink but night before a show. I'd never be able to do four hours of TV.
Yeah, no, you always look at Tim Lovejoy, you always look hungover.
I know, I always look hungover. That's just, I'm a bit ugly. But how could you do a 3-hour live TV show hungover? It'd be absolutely impossible. Anyway, I can't walk past a thermos flask without shouting, would you like a coffee? Would you like a coffee? Yeah, people love the thermos flask joke. What have you got in your thermos flask? Two cups of coffee and a choc ice. Telling people I can only play the jazz chord on a guitar. I don't remember that joke.
Must have been one of Russ Williams.
I can think what it is, but I just don't. I'm guessing. And I hear the term, what's making the headlines, corduroy pillowcases. Is my answer when I hear the term what's making the headlines, corduroy pillowcases, that's my answer. It's also great hearing workings behind the scenes of the show and the highs and lows of you guys. So to answer your question of anyone interested in live Soccer M show, absolutely yes, I would, in Nottingham, you Reds. Keep up the good work for both of you. You know, that's Lee. You know what the first thing you learn when you do a football show is? You can't call Nottingham Forest Notts Forest.
Oh, I've got a friend who's a Nottingham Forest
fan. Supporter.
Thank you, supporter. I just couldn't think of the word. And it drives him absolutely balmy, that the Notts thing. Why is that?
Notts County, I think. I don't know. But the first thing you do is you go on TV and you go,
do it properly.
Notts Forest. And then, oh, wow. You just get inundated with people going, it's Nottingham Forest or Forest. It's not Notts Forest. They absolutely hate it. And I left them to that because I wanted to be part of the world where Man United fans don't like being called Man U, I think. They like being called United or Manchester United or Man United, but not Man U. I think that's it. The one I used to do a lot was the Baggies, West Brom. This is way before social media. For social media, we would have never been on TV for very long. But I used to say West Brom in their traditional black and white stripes. Brilliant that, because obviously they play in dark blue and white. They just... The emails used to come in and the letters. But because it wasn't Twitter, it wasn't people asking for my head. People weren't going, sack him. We used to call Warsaw, Warsaw. And every week someone would go, no, you're spelling it wrong. It's Warsaw. That made me laugh. And we used to go, oh, a big Eastern European tie there, traveling to Eastern Europe. What else did we do? We did lots of that sort of stuff. And I quite enjoyed it. But yeah, Nottingham.
The one I remember is... when you'd say Austria.
Good day, mate. Yeah, well, did all that rubbish, didn't we? Anyway, listen, it's still work in progress, getting all the lads together. We decided to, the lads, getting all the lads together. I've written a show. I decided to write a show. So I wrote a show so we could take it out, kind of like a podcast, but with a bit more production. So I've written it and it's good and I like it. And I think it's basically us talking and stuff. But I've spoken to, what do you call them? Production companies, Mark. What do you call people who put on those sort of shows? Production companies? The ones who take the live tour.
Promoters?
Promoters, yeah. I've spoken to some promoters and I was excited about doing it because we definitely want to do a podcast with them. But I thought, why don't we just take it out and just do something quite nice and go out and talk about soccer and but make it so it's got a bit of production in it, a bit polished so that people can come and have a look at it. And they told me that we can do it in autumn 2019. I was like, what?
Why so long?
Because I just assumed that you could just go, right, I'm going to put on a show and then just go out at the end of the year or the end of the summer.
Or maybe their roster is full, maybe. And maybe the theatres are...
The theatres. You can't just turn up because theatres...
Well, I mean, of course you can't just turn up.
Hello!
Theatres... Theatres apparently, Mark, they have to have forward thinkers, they have to have forward planning, and yeah. They have to book shows in advance. Sometimes a year in advance they have to book, Mark. Sometimes.
God, this is all news to me too.
And when I sit there going, what? I can't just turn up somewhere. And it's no, so you have to, so I mean, so we're just working out whether we can be bothered to do it. We could just do a podcast here or we could do some other stuff. But I was thinking it'd be quite nice to just...
Have a warm-up podcast.
Yeah. Listen, 100% we'll do a warm-up podcast. That's a football tour, that one, a cliche football tour. If you do your sums, at the end of the day, 100%. Anyway, you know about the comedy scene, Mark, don't you? You know about touring. Have you been on many tours?
No, Tim. I don't know what I should know about comedy tours.
Oh, you've been working in the comedy world. You've helped
radio,
write.
TV, not touring. Edinburgh, I've done, but yeah. I've never toured.
Never toured.
I've been to visit friends who are touring.
One of your good buddies, a tour manager.
Yeah, but I don't go on tour with him.
No,
we don't talk about work much.
Why not?
Should we skip past that now?
Anyway, so I'm going to try and do it. So we'll just watch this space. But what I've written so far has been really good. It's really good fun. I just enjoyed writing it. And I'm, it's one of those.
Have you done some skits?
No, it's not like that at all. I'm not like that at all. But it'll be like every time anyone turn up, it'd be a completely different show to the one before. But I just think it'd be quite good fun. It is what it is. All right, Jace. Actually, by the way, if you want to send us a tweet, this is the Twitter address. Send it to mine.
If you've got a problem with very little meat, get hold of Tim by sending him a tweet.
@TimLovejoy.
Right, that's @TimLovejoy. This comes from Jason Day. I have been looking for a podcast like this for ages since Richard Bacon left Five Live. I'm going to read that again.
That was good.
I have been looking. This one comes from Jason Day. I've been looking for a podcast like this for ages since Richard Bacon left Five Live a while ago. I hope you don't mind the comparison. But you both really engage with the person you interview and come across as kind, well-mannered, and very respectful.
I've got deja vu. Have we not done this one before?
No.
All right.
Keep up the good work. And Mark, love the jingle.
Thanks very much.
I'm singing it at home and kids ask, what's that, Dad? You've got me confused now. I don't think we have done this before.
Okay, fine.
You've read it before, probably.
That's probably what it is, yeah.
Yeah. So, do you know what? I used to love Richard Bacon's show. But I loved him brilliant. At night. Do you remember when he used to do nighttime? And it's really bizarre because I was thinking about this. That was kind of the precursor maybe to the podcast, actually putting a major talent like him on late at night.
Yeah.
And he was very talented. Still is very talented. Yeah, but he's just not on Five Live anymore. And I loved that show. And he used to just get some really brilliant people. Look, I do think that is how...
I can't believe he doesn't do a podcast.
Doesn't he do one? He must do, mustn't he? No, he should do, shouldn't he?
Because he lives in LA now, doesn't he?
Does he?
Or New York. He lives in America,
What's
certainly.
He doing?
He broadcasts on American TV, on US TV.
He ruined my life a bit.
Why?
Because he came on Sunday Brunch once and went, you love your sport, don't you? And I went, yeah. And he went, I just don't know how you have the time for it. It's like, it takes up a lot of time to like sport. And it bugged me and it sat in my head for such a long time. And it's one of the reasons, if you listen to the Alistair Campbell podcast when that comes out, or if it's already been out, I discuss sport and my love affair for it is waning a bit. And one of the reasons is that Richard Bacon thing where it's like, it takes a lot of time to learn. I mean, when I was working in football, oh, you have to read the papers every day to work out what the hell's going on, because it's quite complex. Yeah. And these when I was a lad, it was just the Premier League or the First Division, and then it went to all the divisions, then it went to the Spanish leagues, and then the Italians and the Portuguese, and they have to know everything. You know, he's playing for Fenerbahce.
I only check on how my team are doing, and that's all I do.
And then if you want to take in the cricket, ooh, and then you want to take in F1, and you want to take in the tennis, and it's a lot. And then you go, like, oh, I've got to watch this, the Ryder Cup, and da-da-da. It takes up a lot of time.
You sound like one of those people who complain when the portions at a restaurant are too big. You don't have to eat it all.
You don't, you're right. But Richard Bacon said, you know, how do you have time? And it's stuck in my brain. Anyway, thank you very much for that. I thank you also for saying you like Mark's jingle. I love Mark's jingle. I think it's great. Sean Keaveney calls them earworms. Is that right? What they are? You're an earworm. When it gets in there, then obviously people sing it all day. The biggest earworm ever is what, Mark? What do you think?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. I think you'd ask me about that before.
I think it's Babylon Zoo and Spaceman.
Oh, no.
Spaceman. Always wanted you to go into Spaceman, because it was off an advert years ago, and it actually doesn't sound a lot like that. There's just a tiny bit of the zingle at the beginning,
isn't it? And the rest of it is very good.
Well, I don't know.
Have you heard it?
Yeah, I don't mind the song, but that little bit at the beginning where it's all sort of sped up like an alien voice, that is the bit that gets stuck in your head, and now that's stuck in your head. The other one is, I think Spice Girls. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. When that gets in, have you ever heard Alex Horn do that? The what's his band called? The Horn Section?
Yes.
Have you ever heard them do a cover of that?
No.
It's just... I don't know whether you can find it online or anything. They just go, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. Tell us what you want, what you really, really want. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. Well, tell us what you want.
It just goes on and on.
He does that. They do it about 15, 20 times. And they just keep changing the session. I'll tell you what I want. Well, tell us. And they just take that one bit of the song and cover it. And by the end, you just can't get it out of your head. It's an earworm. That's very funny.
Johnny Vaughan has a very good thing for earworms. What? He calls it the antidote to get rid of an earworm. You have to find you find a song that gets rid of it.
Then that sticks in your head.
There's certain songs that can get rid of it that don't, that replace it, but don't, they get rid of it, but don't replace it. It's very clever. There's a few, he's found a
maybe
few.
Maybe that's what I need to do with
it's
girl.
Really great. It's called an antidote. It's fantastic.
Anti-word then, maybe. Because, yeah. Rather than girl, I could call them sugars or something.
Oh, yeah.
Your face.
I thought that word was going to continue a little bit longer. I said
them. Like another three. Take me off air. Someone asked for me to be sacked from my own podcast. I tell you what I want, what I really. No, I tell you another one.
Tell me what you want, what you really, really want.
I'll tell you what I want, what I really want.
Tell me what you want.
There's the national anthem is another one. Once you hear the national anthem, do you know what? That's really bugged me. That conversation with Harriet Harman. I can't stop thinking about the royal family. I watched The Crown. Spoke to Harriet Harman. I've never even contemplated the royal family before, really, in a great scheme of things. They were just there. It's part of our lives. And it's got me thinking. So I keep saying to people, what do you think of the royal family? And when you get past the they're good for tourism stuff and you actually talk about it, it's a really interesting conversation. Just fascinating, though, that something which is so prevalent in our country is just no one ever thinks about ever. Well, I don't. So I used to listen to Richard Bacon, as I say. So thanks for that comparison. It's pretty good. Maybe we should get Richard Bacon on here as a guest one day. I think that'd be
good. When he's back in the country.
When he's back in the country. Find out what he's been up to. Find out what he's doing. Right. This comes from Ross. Hi, Tim. I've spent the last two early morning gym sessions listening to your podcast for the first time. Early day soccer. Soccer M seems to have dragged a lot of people in, hasn't it, to this podcast.
Dragged is not a great word.
Soccer was amazing at the time, and I love Sunday brunch when I get a chance to watch. Won't bore you with my life, but I'm about to hit 40 and thinking it's only me with these frustrating thoughts and opinions on everything about society. It's clear from listening to you that over the last two mornings that many of my frustrations and concerns about society are shared by you. The two podcasts I've listened to are Paul McGee, and Drew Povey. I've seen the Educating series, so was aware of him. Yep. But he just blew me away this morning. What a guy and what an inspiration. Yeah, that's Drew Povey. What a good guy he is. Anyway, the main reason I wanted to email you was around education. My eldest boy is 12 and just started secondary school. Me and my wife were both state educated and both been relatively successful in what we have done in our lives so far. I left school and became a professional footballer. I will turn the page. And have since gone on to run a few successful businesses. I have always had the view that state education served me well, so it will also serve my kids well. It was only when my eldest started showing signs of pretty serious anxiety that we just thought it may be worth looking at other schooling options for him. I, like you, have become totally disillusioned with the education system that we have in our country, and many of my views are echoed by you in the podcast. We've ended up sending our son to private school, and the reason for this was the head teacher who absolutely blew us away with his views on education and the development of kids. Granted, being private, they are not under the same restrictions and targets that state schools are under, so his hands are less tied. However, his obsession with believing that every kid has a talent, and no matter what it is, they will find it and support it. That's brilliant, that stuff. They have 1 hour compulsory activities from 11 to 12 every day, followed by 1 hour's lunch. Any other activities like school sports, matches or extra coaching is done in lesson time and takes total priority. They've also adopted research-based learning, which basically means the kids are not just talked at by teachers. They're encouraged to research and all the information on laptops, iPads or even their phones during lesson times. I think that is brilliant.
Where is this school, did they say?
No, but I think that is absolutely brilliant. He says, my son and all his friends absolutely love going to school. And as you put it, skipping every day because school for them is fun. They have no targets to hit. They're put under no pressure. They're taught to learn properly and in a fun way, which makes them want to do it and enjoy it. And I tell you what, you put them in any company and they'll be an asset because they'll be used to going into school and they'll be used to going into workplace and going, hey, let me research it. Let me look into it. Let me have some ideas. Rather than, hey, I've just memorized something to get me through an exam. I think this is the way we have to go. That the problem is we become obsessed with judging our children. It's a competition. How many qualifications can they get? And sadly, that doesn't add up in any of our industries, it doesn't seem. Unless you're probably, I mean, I think I'd quite like my doctors to have got science and, qualifications. So I think if you're going into that sort of world, you need to really get your qualifications.
There's so much stuff you're told when you're at school. I was weirdly thinking, because I walk past my school quite regularly, my old school, and there's, they asked me to be a prefect, which meant you had to spend your lunch hour walking around the school, monitoring behaviour and stuff. And I just said, no, I don't want to do it. And they said, well, it'll look good on your CV. And I said, no one's going to care about that.
Yeah.
And so I used to go home for lunch. And no one's ever asked me when I've gone for a job. So we want you to produce this show, but I just need to know
where you're prefect. I mean, think of the power you missed out on, though.
Why would you want that?
Did you get any keys with the job?
No, you just got a badge. You got a little shiny badge on your blazer.
Did they give you any form of weapon?
No, no.
You should have said, do I get a firearm with that job?
And my answer's no.
Anyway, he goes on to say, I think I could summarise all of this. It would come down I suppose it means to teaching kids to learn. If you teach them to learn properly, they will embrace it. It's like the give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day, but teach him how to fish and you feed him for a lifetime analogy. He says, this is only my opinion for what it's worth. But like you, I'm just so, so frustrated and how we just don't seem to be able to adapt many of our systems to fit with society. I think what happens is the government needs to produce results, don't they? Because it's, the power game is, politics is a power game. And at the moment, if they can go, we've got more kids with more A stars in more than they have in the rest of Europe, and we've got more exams and more
to,
this.
They have to have that. That's not the school's fault. That's the way that it's set up currently, isn't it?
Yeah, Yes, it is the way it's set up, and it's horrific. It's in the workplace, you don't, you know, if someone
says... Well, you do, because you have sales and, you know...
And then someone says, I'm suffering from anxiety, and then they have to...
Shareholders going, we want to see...
Right, but then someone says, I'm suffering from anxiety, and then they call in HR, and they sit down and have a chat with them, and they see if they can improve their work things. Whereas we shouldn't be doing it with our children. They should be skipping into school. School should be fun.
I don't agree. I think they should suffer like I did.
School should be fun, Mark.
I'm not letting the next generation get off lightly.
We need to have a rethink about it all. Anyway, do you want to hear some life hacks, pearls of wisdom, things they don't teach you at school?
Yes, please.
TP Tim in the house. Life hacks, pearls of wisdom. Don't let life mug you off, mug.
Going to start here with a letter from Nicola. You're wrong about 7 being wishy-washy number. 5 is average. 6 is up above average. 10 being pro. 4 and
what
below
is
below average. 1 being total novice. And she goes, or just totally unlikely, never going to buy the coat. She says, listening while doing the night feed. You remember I said 7's a rubbish number?
Should have started with a recap.
No, I like to just throw it in there. For our regular listeners, I said 7's a rubbish number. You never want to touch 7. 7 is poor out of 10. You went on then to say, what would you score yourself out of 7, Harriet Harman? I said 7, misunderstanding you. But listen, so, and I don't score myself. Anyway, so 7, so my this is not basically something out of my imagination. This is an actual fact, apparently, that if you're looking to get something...
It's a theory. It's not a fact.
I think it's based on fact.
It's not a fact. I think it's based on people. Theory and equation and all mixed up.
Yeah, I do. You're true. But no, I think it is actually based on people doing actual research that if you're trying to get someone to describe something, 8, 9, 10 means good. 7 means not really.
Yeah, but and then 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 are much worse than 7.
100. Don't. Yeah. I was about to say 100% again. Do your sums. So 7 is not a good number, basically. That's it. So if you want to, if you're going to buy, if you ask someone whether they you should employ someone, or you ask someone whether you should buy their coat, and say give it out of 10, 8, 9, 10, go for it. Anything under that, 7's a wishy washy. Anything below that is rubbish. 7's wishy washy. Don't go for it.
Don't agree with you.
10. You don't have to agree with me, but it's true. Right. So what happens now is Mark gives me 3 words.
But can I just very quickly when you go, oh, there's a film on, and you quickly look it up to see if it's any good.
Yeah.
If it's 70% or more...
Never touch it.
So you only watch 10 out of 10 films, do you?
No, 8, 9, 10.
7, anything...
8, 9, 10,
anything...
Mark. You're not
60.
Listening.
I am listening.
Eight,
I don't
nine,
want to
ten.
Hear it. It's cobblers.
7 is not good. Seven,
right, you look at IMDb, and you look at all the ones that got 7 out of 10. Yeah. Or 70%, yes, 7 out of 10, and there'll be some cracking films in there.
Mark, you can't argue with facts. Let's go.
when's this going to end?
It's a fact. I don't know, but it's going on a long time.
Make it stop.
Right, Mark gives me 3 words, and then I have to think of pearls of wisdom to go with them. The first word he gave me was watch, W-A-T-C-H. People will hate me for this, but it is a timely reminder. excuse the pun on that, collecting things is a bad idea. You're not a bloody magpie. You don't have to collect things. I used to have 5 watches.
This is how you've crowbarred this in. Fantastic. Yeah.
They got stolen. I had a break-in in my house, and they got stolen. I was upset because the 5 watches were, one of them was a limited edition, one of them was from the 60s.
One of them was a Swatch.
I didn't lose a Swatch, no. They were my collection. They were the only things that I'd ever collected. And I thought, oh, I'm going to join in the collection thing. 5 very expensive watches. But on losing them, whenever I had them, I used to look at them and think, oh, which one shall I wear? I don't have to do that anymore because I do not have a choice. I only have 1 watch. It's a much better thing in the morning not to have to think about which watch to wear, or when I go out at night, it's not watch to wear. Collecting teapots, stamps, trainers. When do you know when to stop? When have you collected enough? When have you won? When has the thing come to an end, the collection, for me, that would be annoying. I wouldn't know when to stop. Oh, I've just got paid. I've got a bonus. Let me go and buy another teapot. I mean, you know, it's like... Is that a
sly little dig at Rimmer there?
Well, I'm just thinking about him because he collects teapots. And then you say, oh, where do you keep them? It's like you've got all these teapots you have to probably wrap in paper or something. Do you remember Adam? He had the Coke collection, which we discussed on here. Not only that is when you... And this is... You know, a reminder of that. What happened was Adam's dad had made this amazing Coke collection, which looked phenomenal. He died, but he left that collection to Adam. And then Adam was left with all the anxiety of what to do with the collection. So unless you've got really, really valuable stamps, then you wouldn't mind inheriting those, would you? You just sell them off immediately. But if you're collecting something else, it's not worth it. Here's my advice. Don't join anything. Don't collect anything. Don't
join anything.
No, don't belong to anything. Just be free. Don't have anything. Don't
enjoy anything.
Enjoy.
Don't watch anything.
Enjoy
don't
stuff.
Don't say anything.
I'm a Star Wars fan, because then you're part of something. You're joining it. Don't do that. Just go, yeah, well, I like watching Star Wars. Don't, you know, just be free. Be free of it all. Buddhists say.
Oh, God, here we go.
The wise man doesn't attach himself to anything. It's a bit sexist, that, because, you know, it could have been the wise woman as well. But it's a sexist. But we'll let them off. The wise
says,
man says...
Says the person who called women sugars. Because that's not being edited out.
it was. Your face on that was brilliant. What's he saying? Next word. So I think we've covered that one off. Indulge. Okay. A few weeks ago, I taught you how to increase your superpowers. I explained if you never react to anything, it might take a couple of days, but it turns you into a superhero. So the example I gave was road rage. Something
What's the
like
word?
That. Indulge.
So this is.
So we get there.
This is a tenuous link as well, isn't
no,
it?
No, no, no. It's not. I'm teaching you how to increase your superpowers, make yourself like a superhero. So, you know, you get involved in a bit of road rage, but you don't say anything, and at the time you want to tear the man or woman's head off because you're so angry. And then a couple of days later you wake up and go, I was brilliant, I'm a superhero, I was under so much control. And it's all about control. So you can increase your superpowers by never indulging. See, indulging means to allow oneself to enjoy the pleasure of.
You don't really believe what you're saying now, do you?
I do.
I can see it in your eyes.
Because I looked up in the dictionary just to make sure I was on the right lines here. Because the example they gave is we indulged in a cream tea. Now, the thing is, it wouldn't be a problem if I was going to, I will indulge in an apple. But people don't indulge in apples, do they, Mark? No. They indulge in bad things. It's usually stuff that's not great for you. And it's at times of year, like Christmas.
Apples aren't good for you, Tim.
They're not.
No.
They're good. They clean
they're
your
teeth. Sugar.
They clean your teeth.
There's so much sugar in them.
They're very, very good for you, apples.
They're not.
I believe. All right. I'm going to indulge in some cabbage. some curly kale. Christmas, that's the time when people indulge. Christmas comes and everyone overeats, they indulge. They overdrink, they indulge. Just don't. If you don't do it, you not only will you be really smug, so smug it hurts, you will also feel in total control and you'll feel like a superhero. Indulging equals weakness, Mark.
Wow.
My disclaimer on that is I sometimes indulge.
What do you indulge in?
Alcohol.
Oh, so rarely though.
Yeah, I know.
So rarely.
I do. But at Christmas time, it was weird actually. I'm being honest here. This is genuine. I watch everybody. I could just go to a supermarket and watch people fill up their trolleys and stuff. And you think, are you really going to eat all that? There's one day the shops aren't open and we've got like biscuits and cakes and chocolate and how many different desserts have you got, and you've got to eat three meals, whereas you could just go, I might just eat normally like I would normally eat, and then you wake up the next day and you feel the same, and you haven't overindulged, and you do feel very smug and you feel like a superhero. It's honestly, it's a good one.
What would that superhero be called?
Dim.
Mr. Boring.
Dim.
I've learned how to grind your gears.
It's boring being healthy and leading a normal, nice life and being smug. It's like the everything in moderation. Oh, yeah, everything in moderation. Yeah. You just have some cigarettes in moderation. Maybe a little bit of heroin or some crack cocaine or maybe some sugar. Just have a load of sugar in moderation. You've got to think about what you put inside yourself, you know. That's the annoying one, that moderation bit. Don't you? It means... Everything in moderation means I want to eat some cake. You wouldn't stick Gatorade in your car, in your petrol tank in your car, would you? You can't just have moderation there.
What?
I don't know. I'm talking nonsense here. And by the way, I eat cake and I drink Gatorade. And I
do you eat drink?
But I don't do heroin or crack cocaine. The final word is oven.
So we've had watch, indulge, an oven.
Yeah, you sent them to me. It's not my fault, and I've got to come up with some beautiful pearls of wisdom.
There's so much cobblers. I'm trying to just sort of recap and like, you know, summarize.
Oven. Always cook your bacon in the oven.
Yes, yes.
It's the best way to cook it. Yes. 180 degrees. 180%. 180. Put 180. Often I always used to either fry.
Yeah, go on.
Grill?
No, yes.
I did
too messy.
Used to, yeah.
Too messy.
Stick it in the oven.
Foil underneath. You haven't got to clean anything up to chuck the foil away.
You can't put foil in those ovens. They don't like it. I don't know. It says on the instructions, don't use foil in the ovens.
That's madness.
Why? I don't know. Why? They just said it in the instructions, don't use foil in the ovens.
I tell you what I do very quickly is I turn it right up.
Yeah.
So it crisps it really quickly.
Yeah, if you go too hard, but you can burn it, yeah. So be careful. Go streaky bacon.
Absolutely, of course.
Same with your sausages. Oven.
Yeah.
Best way to cook them.
And eggs.
Eggs.
You can finish, yes. You know when you got them in the pan, as long as you've got a metal handle.
Yeah.
Just put that in the oven for a bit, and so you don't have that like jelly. Some people don't like the jelly stuff on top.
Oh, I'd go poached eggs.
Oh, no, fried eggs in butter. Oh.
In butter?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Not sure about that. I generally go poached eggs.
Butter, there's 0% carbs and 0% sugar in butter. It's so good for you.
Poached eggs, by the way, it's taken me a long time, 10 years of working with Simon Rimmer before
you lose so much egg.
Okay, I'll tell you why you don't. There's been a lot of conversations about poached eggs on... something for the weekend and Sunday brunch. And then one day he went to me, he just told me how you poach an egg, and it's just it's changed my...
It's like boiling stuff. You lose all the nutrients.
All right, well, yeah, I don't think you do, because it sort of cases itself in. But anyway, the way to poach an egg is just get boiling water of any description, get it boiling, then quickly turn the boiling water off, crack an egg into it, and then turn it back up again. That's all you have to do. You don't have to spin the water, you don't have to have vinegar, you don't have to do any of that stuff. But do you know what the key to it is? So obvious.
Eggs, water,
fresh eggs.
Right.
So if they're really fresh eggs, they will poach so easily in anything. Shallow water, deep water, any water. If they're not fresh, they break up and you lose a lot of egg, as like Mark says. So it's just basically getting a fresh egg. Fresh eggs poach. If they're not fresh,
I've not had lunch. I'm so hungry.
Fry them or scramble them. Listen, if you want to send us a pearl of wisdom or you want to say anything else about this podcast, drop us an email. This is the email address.
If what you want to ask is just too long for Twitter, don't stress. We've got an easy to remember email address. This is the reason for this overly long song. It's dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com.
Final email of the show, dear guys. This comes from Eddie. Just want to send you a quick email to say that I'm immensely enjoying your podcast and it's easily my favourite of 6 or 7 that I regularly listen to. Oh, thank you. That's amazing. I can tell that you guys enjoyed doing it, and this comes through to the listener. It was the Dr. Robert Holden episode that has made me write this was a compelling listen. I was hanging off every word and have listened through twice and have recommended friends and colleagues to have a listen to. Yeah, Dr. Robert Holden's brilliant, isn't it? And we got so many brilliant people on this podcast. They released a few absolute gems in what he was saying, and I would love to hear more from him. We'll try and get him back on sometime. Hope you guys get him back for another episode, he says. We'll try and get him back on again sometime. I shall definitely give this one, one of his books, a read in the near future. Yeah, they're good, actually. I've read a lot of these books. It's a good one. Yeah, he's a good read. Anyway, you probably get hundreds of emails all saying the same, but keep up the good work, guys, and I'm very much looking forward to listening to more. And thanks to my mate, Russ, who recommended Dear Lovejoy to me. Lovely to hear that, and nice that Russ recommended you. If you could recommend us to your friends, that would be really lovely. I think that's it.
And it's free.
It is free. It is free. I'm working on that.
Are you going to start charging?
What do you reckon? 20 quid a pound?
Oh, wow.
No, it is free. We're doing it for free, and we really do enjoy doing it. We actually really do enjoy doing it, so make sure you...
We talked about our anxiety, though, because you were talking about your anxiety when you have people on, and, you know, the questions and how you come across. The anxiety I feel on the way here and while we're recording, in case something goes wrong, is... mind-bending.
Do you mean in recording speaking?
No, record actually me physically recording. Yeah. It not you would go, say we had Alistair Campbell on and it hadn't recorded, you would be so unhappy.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel that the anxiety I feel is so great.
I told you this once before. I recorded a pilot of a radio show once, and I pulled out all the stops. It had musicians on it, footballers on it, something else, I can't remember, and lots of different items and everything. And we finished it. It was about a two-hour recording to make into a pilot. And at the end, the producer went,
"Oh, no.
Oh, God, I forgot to press record. I didn't know what to do. I just got up, walked out, and I didn't redo another one. I just couldn't face it. I just didn't revisit it at all. I fortunately managed to get a job on radio after that, but it was just the feeling you get. Yeah.
Can you imagine how bad that producer
felt? The other day when we finished Alistair Campbell and you went, "Oh no, that bit's not working" or something, and I was like, "Oh God, don't tell me it hasn't recorded. Is this recorded?"
I don't know.
Hope it hasn't, because there's a lot of rubbish on this one. Be a godsend if this one hadn't been recorded. But if you did enjoy it, thank you very much. You can rate us 5 stars. Oh, weren't you going to read out some of the comments?
Let's do it next time, because I've got to print them off.
Oh, you didn't even bother? Like the certificates? Didn't bother printing them off like the certificates? One job.
Shut up, Tim.
All right, we will do that next time. Listen, if you want to email us, it's dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com. You can tweet me @TimLovejoy. As I say, rate us, subscribe to us, and we will see you all very shortly. For the time being, peace and love, joy.
Bye!
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.